No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cool Guys, we are back, baby. We are back. It is August 13th. We are recording this on the Lions. This is a few days after their second preseason game wrapped up. And we also have the joint practice with the Dolphins this week. We're going to get into all that, including injury report and some other things. But if we do that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Run Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
And conveniently joining, I don't know if he's on the audio yet, Bob.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Nice timing.
I'll talk about the timing.
Wow.
Right when you do an intro.
Right at the last second. Yeah.
And our producer, Kid J, of course, is Kid off J. to the side. He might be chiming in every once in a while.
With the Rams update.
Well, I think everybody's on here. I think everybody's going to be watching this right after watching the Taylor Swift to Kelsey interview on YouTube, right?
Really? Is that gone?
Is that a thing?
It was today.
It's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
I think they had like 1.4 million viewers at one point on the live stream.
Wow. Can we get Taylor on this broadcast?
That yeah, yeah. Amazing. We'll have her hop right on over.
Get our numbers up a little bit.
Sure. Our title for this can be, did we interview Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, we didn't.
No, we're here to talk about, of course, the Lions. We want to start with the preseason game that happened last week.
Yeah.
Obviously a scary moment with the Lions safety going down, but luckily it seems like everything is okay with him. Scary moment for sure. Maurice Norris, number 26, probably not going to make the roster, but, you know, fighting hard, you never know. And took a pretty good shot, knee from the running back. Kind of just a shiver down the spine type of thing. So they canceled the game early. But
what do you guys
pretty much
about
the whole fourth quarter was not played. What was that, Road Dog?
So what do you all think about that decision to not finish the game?
It's a preseason game.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was
no right
big deal. Yeah, it was right. It was late in the
game.
If it
was a regular season game, they're obviously finishing it out. But preseason, no need.
The NFL lets the people know that it's more than just a game. There's people involved.
Yeah, so I guess the other guys didn't need those reps with the fourth quarter.
I mean, if they finished the DeMar Hamlin game, then they're definitely they would have finished this one if it was a regular season.
Yeah. Oh no, regular season. I don't think that. Yeah, there's no question.
So Red Dog, that crashes your theory that Campbell really wants to win these preseason games.
No, I mean he even said winning is a goal out there, but I mean obviously it's not. The top goal like in the regular season.
Hey, I'll tell you what stood out to me. That it was Campbell afterwards. He was like visibly shaking when he was talking to the press and stuff.
Shaken.
And I don't know. He's an emotional guy. And it's just, I don't know. It says a lot about his personality, I think, with, you know, how much he loves these players. So,
right. And that's why the players respond to him as well.
Right. Exactly.
But luckily, he's okay. Just looks like a concussion now. He's in concussion protocol, but everything else seems okay, which is great. But other things about that game, at least.
Get better, Mo.
I want to talk about. First, I want to shout out Isaac Tesla, touchdown.
Yeah, baby.
In the end zone.
He's electric.
His guy on his
he's
route.
Electric, that guy.
He's looking legit.
It didn't. It wasn't a hard throw by Kyle Allen at all, but he made it, and the Lions, you know, put up points. So Isaac Tesla, good to see him.
Kyle Allen.
Out there getting a touchdown in the preseason. What do you guys think of the quarterback battle here? Is Hendon Hooker in trouble?
Yes.
Yeah, and then
put it shortly. Yes, he isn't. He should be showing a lot more progress at this point in his career. And Kyle Allen actually had a decent game. You know, he's been around a little longer, a little more experience, and I don't know. Hooker's just not doing it, man. He's got to show up, and he hasn't, and he's getting every chance too. So.
He looks like he's short circuiting. Like he does not
two and a half years now, really.
His processing ability, it's like he's gone backwards. Like
I know.
He looked more confident.
His pocket,
last year,
presence is lacking as well.
What pocket presence?
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, every time he tucks the ball to run, he fumbles, except for once. Like
yeah. It's tough.
It is.
This is his first. Well, I guess last year a little bit, but he hasn't had like when you're in practice, you're not like getting hit, and you're always thinking you're kind of safe as the quarterback. It's just it's so hard to get those reps.
Maybe they need him to
game reps.
They need him to slow the practice down to slow mo, like they're doing for Caleb Williams over at the Bears. Did y'all hear that?
No, like,
they're running things in slow motion so he can just see what it looks like without the pressure of the speed.
I believe it based on some of the
could be TikTok nonsense.
I've seen it probably is a little bit TikTok nonsense, but
I don't know. But I keep hearing he's just not it's not clicking with him yet. So
yeah, back to Hooker though. He
then what's up?
He just is not. You're right, Rud Dog. He's not processing. It's just so weird. I feel bad for the guy because he seems like a really good guy and he seems like an intelligent guy. I don't know why it's not clicking.
He might not have that West Coast ability. Maybe he needs one of those like a spread and mess around with it, like college offenses where he just throws to the open guy or whatever instead of trying to hit all these timings and everything. Because like,
yeah, maybe
Jared Goff's like such a technician. An operator back there, like I don't know, like not everyone's able to do what he does, and
definitely not. We've seen that.
Right, you might be right about that though. The pro offense is way different from what he ran in college, and but you think in a couple of years he'd have adapted at this point.
I mean, maybe we probably should have seen this coming a little bit, just with the Lions signing Teddy Bridgewater off the street basically last year for a playoff run when they had Hooker the entire year backing up. So,
I mean, 1 year in the league at that point, like I was still kind of like, or 2 years at the end of your second year. I don't know. I wasn't like expecting him to be there, but I expect him to show up with this camp with some level of like comfort and having shown progress. And you know what? Here, the one thing I will say, has Kyle Allen won the battle? I won't say that yet. I think he pulled ahead by a significant margin, though. But camp's not over. He's got two more games. I think, you know, Hooker, maybe it is, you know, just like a few little things in his head that just haven't clicked yet and it'll all come together. But the pressure's on. He needs
right.
to
but
figure
if it's
it
a playoff Wait. Game and Goff goes down, I'd probably want Allen in there right now over Hooker.
Right now, yeah. I mean,
I know it's definitely. A long way away, but I don't think it's close.
No, not based on just the preseason games. You know, that's the other thing. If this isn't include practice and everything, and maybe there's just like, you know, he's just got to figure some things out still. But yeah, based on the preseason games, this battle already looks in the bag for Allen.
He's looking less valuable as an asset, too, because last year everybody's like, we should trade Hooker and get so and so or whatever.
Yeah.
If someone needs a quarterback, but I don't think everybody's going to race out to get Hendon Hooker from the Lions.
No.
Right.
He's not looking like a backup quarterback right now. That, you know, just to be blunt, he looks like something like a third, almost maybe a guy that isn't good, needs a position change or something.
Looks like a Brother Rice guy out there, the way he's flying about.
That's great. Like you mean like a multiple Super Bowl winner, like Dave Deal, something like that? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Road Dog, I know you're a big fan of Broderick Martin this game. I don't know if you want to talk about him for a moment.
Yeah, I mean,
him that you like.
I didn't get to see every single play, but just picking it up from like the game highlights, he stood out multiple times, had a real nice like blow up in the backfield that Hassanin helped him clean up, where he just blew right through the guard and was in there, caught the guy for like 3 or 4 yards for a loss. He was bullying the line for on like pass rushes too. He got some pressure by just collapsing the pocket. So he looked, he really flashed the monster that he could be at 6'5", 340 or whatever. He's a massive human, and he showed some serious flashes, which might just be enough to eke him onto this roster, because they're looking for those flashes. I think those flashes are worth a lot more for a guy like that, because that means the development is still progressing. Is he the best tackle in, you know, in the rotation yet? Mm-hmm. I'm not claiming that, but we also have a lot of injuries, so that we need more depth there. So I know, he looked really beastly at times.
He did. It was nice. Since we got him, I think that's the best he's looked. That's not saying a whole lot, but,
right.
You know, yeah, he's got to make this roster too. And, yeah, he better fight his ass off. He needs to. He needs to show again next week too, I think. Show us really
sure.
something. And it was against second and third stringers too. So, I mean, you got to take that with a grain of salt too. So, but at least he was showing. So,
yeah. And I think Hassanin's rocked up a roster spot as well.
I agree with that. I agree.
Which is exciting to see. You never know when these guys actually get into camp. You know, we get hyped about the Egyptian and his size.
UJ and I knew. We really spotted it.
We knew. The gods told us. When we were
digging, the signs were definitely
pyramid,
pointing
when we were
to
doing
this.
That dig. We saw the signs scrolled on the wall in hieroglyphics. Anyway.
Is that when you killed that mummy that one time?
Yeah, well, that's another story.
And St. Brown has an Egyptian name in Amun-Ra.
Yeah.
You got Hassanin. So there's a whole mummy thing building here. They should, the next, that's right. If they rebuild Ford Field, it should be in the shape of a pyramid.
I love it.
Interesting.
To get in, you got to go through secret passages and, you know, things that could kill you.
Yeah. I think another takeaway from this game, I mean, we saw him in the Hall of Fame game, but I think he's more than cemented himself enough, and he might even, like, especially when we have some versatility. Rakusen, he might be a key player that we were not talking about coming this season that might be a key part of this defense going forward.
Yeah.
Just from a depth piece and his versatility, because he's also shown he can play some safety too. He was out there in safety during the joint practices today as well.
Yeah, they seem to be liking him a lot. The press likes him too. They everyone seems to be talking this guy up. So yeah,
he seems like CB4 at this point. Like, the next guy after Robertson.
Well, maybe.
Got Reed, Tarion Robertson, him probably.
How do you say his name exactly?
Rakusen. Rakusen.
Rakusen. Roll me away. Yeah, cool. I like it.
Rakusen all night. Sorry. Michael Jackson? I don't know. Forget it. For your time.
Did you guys have any other takeaways from this game before we get into the
one quick takeaway. The offensive line generally sucked. However, Tate Rallage looked pretty good on his behalf, and actually Manu did not look half bad.
No.
But the line in general broke down a lot. A little trouble with protection and stuff. But those two guys, I got to give them a little shout out. Apparently Rallage looked very good, and Manu holding his own is encouraging. And Decker's been working with this guy a lot. And Decker is determined to make this guy the next left tackle, which I love that kind of dedication from one player to another, you know, and it's just really cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm shouting out for him, and I'm wishing him the best, man. I'd love to see that guy turn into a great ball player. It would be amazing with his size and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that'd be amazing.
The guy across from him, I don't know if he's making this team, something Miller. That was like Roy Miller or something. The dude's like 6'7", too. He's big boy, but he is not ready. He got toasted on the fumble by Hooker. He looked really bad. Yep. Some of the left guard play I noticed was shoddy. Like, yeah, there was some rough patch is there for the old line.
I think depth's going to be a slight issue. Sorzal went down, now is out for the season. And that hurts.
By all accounts, he's having a pretty good camp thus far and looking like a good depth
that
piece going forward. And now
that hurts.
It's killer. Out for the year.
Yep.
Gosh.
Out for the year. Not even like comeback midseason.
Year enders.
I know. It's just, oh, well. Next man up, as they say. So
yeah, it's just tough. You hate when these guys are finally like, taking the step forward, and then they get it taken away from them.
You hear Skipper, in an interview the other day, it was like, could someone like pull that the pin out of our voodoo doll already?" we could just drop in like flies.
It's crazy already, the injuries. Before we even get into the season, I think we already have six.
Some of them hurt more than others, and like there hasn't been that one big one. You hope there's not. There's still some guys that you Levi was big.
Rake Strauss out another
Rake
year.
Straw.
I know, geez. That's horrible.
Miles Frazier's probably out for the year.
Yeah. What? Out the year now?
He said he might be out for the year. Yeah. I thought he had a chance of coming back, but I heard it was.
Mekhi Wingo's out for a long time, at least six games. Probably might be longer.
At
least he's coming back, though.
McNeil, Malcolm Rodriguez, we don't have them. We're still dealing with last year's injuries.
But we have potential to get healthier toward the end of the season this year, which we didn't have last year. So maybe this is working in our favor.
I was telling some other people, I just want the Lions to get to the playoffs healthy, even if it costs them a couple games during regular season. Because at this point, we saw what happens when you go.
Yep.
Like the extra victories don't mean much.
That's true.
If you're walking in with scrubs off the street, basically for the playoffs,
And Dan Campbell actually said something kind of to what my thoughts were. I don't know your guys' too, probably, which was he felt like he had to make too much of everything, the one seed and all this stuff, to get overcome all these injury deficits down the stretch. That maybe he kept tweaking those emotional levers a little too much, and then there was a relief after the Vikings game, and that was the death knell, kind of where they fell off.
You're
the
right. He did touch
the
on
edge.
That. He did touch
and
on
I,
that.
I thought that was pretty cool to hear. Like,
interesting.
I think he also put more emphasis on the home field advantage and the bye.
He said
put too much emphasis on that.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. Like you getting know. All that. Like instead of just one game after the other, and he made a preliminary goal that got too much focus, and it kind of left him, made him fall off a little bit.
And statistically, the first round bye for the number one seed is it's 50-50. It's not as advantageous as you think it is for these number one overall seeds.
It's so much to do with just momentum and timing and who's got the hot hand.
I mean, that collective sigh of relief, they said that they reached that goal, and then they relax themselves. You can't relax, that's the thing. But that extra week allows them to take that deep breath and relax a little bit, and then getting it back.
It stops your momentum a little bit, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So,
yeah, when you're running on fumes and you're just holding it together by, whatever, I think of a forced ruck march, you're dying and you don't even want to take the break because, once you sit down, you ain't going to want to get back up again.
And yet, they still should have won the game.
Yeah,
should have would have.
True.
Running shotgun on third and short.
But Campbell never
a pass in a key moment. Jared Goff missing a wide open Sam Laporta 10 yards in front of him.
Graham Glasgow getting beat like a drum.
Hey, Campbell never threw anybody under the bus, though. Never blamed anybody.
We'll do it.
Our job.
I mean,
I'd still be happy with the number one seed this year, though, and the bye.
Yeah, I guess I could deal with it, Bob. I guess I could deal with it. but anyways, other injuries. Tim Patrick has an undisclosed injury. There seems to be Dan Campbell had to respond the other day about some Tim Patrick, is he going to make the roster, not make the roster type of thing? Because he apparently has not looked super great.
Well, Tesla has been so much better than him in this in the preseason. It's
interesting.
It is. Yeah. And that was before he got injured, too.
You know, Dominic Lubick looks like he's probably going to make the roster.
Yes,
in some capacity.
Yeah.
especially because of his special teams.
If he's healthy, he's definitely making the run.
Right. He had a little rough Hall of Fame game, but apparently everything else after that.
I think
it was that bad, though. I mean,
he just didn't make some of the play. Like, he was in the right spot. He got open.
They don't need him to be a very good receiver right now. He's going to make the team because of his special teams abilities. Last year we only kept four total to start the season. This year I think we keep six, but that's because both him and Tesla offer. Well, we might keep only five. I don't see Patrick going, but depending on what the injury situation is. But actually, a kid I want to highlight who had a huge play on that last game, Jackson Meeks. This kid is showing something, and he's been making plays throughout camp. He's 6'2". And he's pretty damn fast. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe you scrap Tim Patrick. I love him, and you know, I hope he comes back and balls for us. But if he's, you know, just hit that whatever point of his career where the youth starts to catch up, I mean, maybe they go with some young blood to, you know, really spice things up. But he's got some intriguing upside, and you know, that's not even to mention the other kid, like Ronnie Bell. There's some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is just going to be normal, though, when you have so much talent. You just our worst guys are going to probably end up on other teams.
Like, yeah. It's interesting about Patrick, too, because coming into camp this year, he was like saying he was in great shape and he's like super focused. Yeah. But it's not happening. And they can't get attached.
Then our cornerback said, "Wait, I'm going to cover you like a wet blanket."
Well, he's kind of trade bait now. Think about it. I don't know if anybody's looking for a receiver who's somewhat proven.
Yeah. I don't know. Campbell still said like he's probably going to make the roster still.
But when he isn't Tim Patrick the only wide receiver over 30?
Yes, he is.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
He's the only Irishman too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Is Tim Kennedy not Irish?
Or Tom Kennedy?
That sounds pretty Irish.
I don't know. He's timeless.
He might be.
He's probably Irish. Dude.
And he's playing really good in camp, too.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like
he's a great camp guy.
Someone needs to grab him up and feature him in their offense, man. Like TK, someone who doesn't have our utter wealth of receivers needs to grab that man and give him a chance, because I think he would shine if he was given some serious featuring in an offense. Like, I think we could make him shine. We just have too many players that are better than him.
I think Red Dog, it's better the myth of him. That if he was actually starting on a team, I don't think he'd produce what you guys
I disagree with that. I'm like, Red Dog.
No, I know.
I think he'd be a really good slot corner. Or
I know. You guys. You guys type?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Why not?
Amendola, like, Edelman. Yeah, sure. Why not? He's
similar build.
And did you see that play to Meeks that he threw that bomb to? Kennedy was wide
right
open.
Blocking.
Like, he could have threw it to Kennedy, and Kennedy was wide open on that play.
Yep.
And then instead, he that doesn't go to him, so he goes and throws a nice block for the guy. Guy's a player, man.
No, I like Kennedy. I like having him on the roster or on the practice squad. But
I love him.
I just don't think
there.
He's the next Steve Largent or whatever you guys are making him out to be.
I don't know about Steve Largent. I don't know who that is, but
no, we just say large.
I think
said
he would be a quality starter, though. I'm not saying he's going to light the league on fire, but with like a good scheme that knows how to put him in the good position, and he's just a really crafty, athletic wide receiver who I think would produce as a starter on a offense. I'm not saying he'd even be a number one or two.
Someday, he and Cephas. Cephas and he will have a restaurant, and they'll be talking about how they could have been great.
Look, end of the gods or something. I don't know.
Actually, after Zach Zenner, Tom Kennedy's the one I'd most like to have on this show for an interview.
That'd be great.
I love his career. I think at the end, when his career is over, he should go in like some kind of Lions circle of fame for something. I know it won't be like for being like the great
practice
Lions
squad Hall of Fame.
Best, yeah, I mean, like,
there you go.
He's making a whole career out of this. It's pretty
he'll
amazing.
He'll get the ring.
He'll probably be on the practice squad again.
I don't doubt it for a second.
If he doesn't get picked up somewhere, I think he's an obvious lock there for us.
We love you, TK.
He should be the mascot since he's already kind of the mascot. He should be the mascot for real.
Wow.
Some condescending, Justin. Wow.
Rory.
Let's not help it get him on the podcast, Kid J.
Wow.
Sorry, Tom. This is nothing against you. Don't listen to our Rams fan.
I'll tell you, he'd make Stafford better. I'll tell you that.
He probably could.
Like, I really think he would do really well in a slot role for an offense.
Yeah.
Where's Quintez Cephas?
He was just in the news lately. He's on his last legs.
Probably murdered someone now.
I can't remember the article.
I thought he signed with the 49ers.
The Hall of Fame is still in
Quintez Cephas Hall of Fame ceremony 2027.
Yeah. First ballot.
I want to say he was on three teams in the last month. Like, he's bounced around.
Oh, no.
And he's like,
the Houston Texans signed him to.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, the Texans. That was the last one.
We'll see how long he lasts.
Good to see. Hey, Jared Goff, remember throwing touchdowns to him
in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
Jared Goff, remember throwing touchdowns to him. He was with the 49ers,
and then he got released.
Oh.
Anyway.
He was too good for him.
Let's forget about that.
That just adds to the legacy. It adds to the legacy.
Maybe he'll be a Hall of Fame for the most teams bounced to.
maybe Josh Johnson is probably quarterback.
Yeah,
I think this is his 18th team he's on this year.
Yeah,
is it
18th team? That's crazy. It's more than half the NFL.
Yeah, it's hard to beat backup quarterbacks.
He updates it on his LinkedIn too all the time. So follow. Anywho,
yeah,
he's got to collect all 32 teams before he can retire.
Yeah. So offensive line depth is hurting going into the season here with the depth injuries. Luckily, not to a starter.
Not hurting that much.
But I mean, Sorsdahl, Miles Frazier.
Those two hurt, I'll give you. But like,
I mean, Ragnow retiring.
We still got
like into the season, but
Coyote, you know, you still got a few guys that can get in there.
Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach, this is going to be a great test for him this year, just to see how he manages without like Ragnow and some new pieces here. So should be fun to watch.
That's kind of a good segue into the Dolphins practices.
It's a great segue. I couldn't think of a better segue.
And the reason I say that is because apparently today the offense and the offensive line was awesome. They said Goff was never touched. I mean, Amon-Ra, there's a whole minute-long film of all the catches he was making. He ruled.
I saw it.
And Goff is dropping dimes. I mean, just dropping dimes. And they just dominated. It's so awesome. So,
you know, all this talk of the Lions, O-line struggling at practice, maybe that's just because our D-line's really good, because they also dominated.
This is true. Definitely. This is true.
Both sides of the ball are dominant.
Yeah, but it's nice to see the starting O-line, if they can stay intact. I don't think we have that much to worry about with these guys. They're really good and young, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, they'll as they gel, they're just going to get better and better. There's too much talent there.
Yeah, and like in these joint practices, if you're not familiar, like they do situational things, like the offense on both teams. The situation was they're tied 10-10, starting at their own 30-yard line with 54 seconds left and two timeouts. The Dolphins went 4 and out, and the Lions in 54 seconds. 25-yard throw to Amon-Ra over the middle, 11-yard gain to Ronnie Bell, and an 8-yard curl route to Zylstra, and then they line up to kick a game-winning field goal after that. So, and the Dolphins.
Ooh, yeah,
nothing. Nice.
Dolphins nothing all day, like you said. They didn't score 9 in 9 tries in the red zone. The Lions scored multiple times. I don't think the Dolphins are very good.
True. However,
it's another
their
team.
I think is like 5.5 on the year, 6.5. Like, it's really low. They kind of
yeah,
suck.
But still,
but it's an
NFL
team,
man.
Yeah, and it's a starting NFL team. This is the starters going against starters. So,
right.
Yeah, it's still impressive. So,
and like that's like. Like, I think that's going to be about regular season talent kills. When you have just a really talented team, like, some wins you're just going to get because the other team just can't handle you. like, I think we can get away with some sloppiness early on, potentially, you know, like, then again, you never know. But the point is, these guys are playing other teams and they're showing out. This is another NFL team, and they could be a good one. I don't know. But, right now, our team looks like they're ready to cook.
Amon-Ra is.
How about,
go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say, how about J-Mo and Ippy throwing hands?
That's awesome.
That's perfect. I just love
I didn't even realize they end up on the Dolphins now.
Yeah. So, but I guess They're good with each other.
Oh, it was iffy.
It's kind of cool that they got scrappy out there.
Yeah, I love that. J-Mo.
Is that for like a field goal attempt or something like that?
I think it's they were walking off the field after the practice or something. I read it, but I don't know.
What was your Amon-Ra point?
Oh, no. He was saying how it felt so good to play against someone else besides themselves, you know? And but going back to the Lions practices against themselves, there's this thing called the Hutch rule in practice. Have you guys heard about this?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about the
Hutch rule, because Hutch is getting to the quarterback so much. Like when he would normally stop the play for a sack, if Hutch was making the sack, they just continued on the play to see what would happen if Hutch didn't sack him, because he was just tearing people up. He's dominating in practice,
he's
so
a beast, man.
Which is a great sign for this defense. So I just thought it was great. So cool that they made her call it the Hutch rule. Keep the play going, boys.
Our dude's gonna be so good.
I know. Very exciting.
Manu had a bad game, bad day. I guess he didn't play all that much, but he had a bad practice, according to the rags.
Yeah, he's still got a little ways to go. I mean, by all accounts, Taylor Decker's making it his mission to make him like his heir apparent.
Yeah, which is awesome, which you talked about. Yeah,
but he definitely has a ways. Even if we watch him now, he's still.
Hey, well, tomorrow's a Manu day, so you know.
Oh. Man, you actually said that.
Cheers.
Oh boy.
Anyways,
thank you. I'll be here all week.
I mean, he's going to be on the roster, so he has to be ready to go to a game. He's going to be in there at some point this year. The way the NFL goes.
Injuring Decker, are we, Hanzi?
No.
Wow, cool, man. No, I think he will. I think he's going to see some skipper like flex action. He's too much of a freaky athlete in his own right. Like, use him as a swing tackle.
Yeah.
I gotta say too, Skipper does not look as good as he was last year. Just like from the preseason games. I don't see.
Well, he tweaked his ankle. Played? Is he back from that ankle tweak? He was out for like a week.
I ain't too worried about Skip. But, I feel like stay healthy, Skip. I'm not too worried about
his
camp.
He's more like a fourth tight end than a backup tackle. So.
But he also did some fantastic spot work for Decker last year. So,
He did.
I feel like he's such a known entity. Unless he's just shown like some crazy drop off, you know what you got in that man.
You just keep on puking, Skip, or whatever you're doing over there.
You mountain of a man.
You're not doing it, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Manu was a monster, but I still didn't realize like Decker still got a couple. I mean, Skipper's still got a couple inches on him. Like, he's such a beast.
He's huge. He's huge. But no, Skipper's an asset, though. He's good. Good to have him.
Tyleek Williams played pretty well. I forgot, we going back to the last preseason game. He got his first action.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He showed some stuff. I'll tell you what. He is a massive person. Like, you look, Tyleek
Williams?
He stands out. I think my prediction is they're going to have him lose probably like 20 pounds after this season. And try to untap more of his athletic potential, because he still moves remarkably well for a man that size. But when you have that much gut in play, I feel like there's some extra athleticism might be worth more. But, I mean, he moves well, and he's a big boy.
I think they like a big guy.
Yeah, they said Hutch and him in practice
he'd still
were
be
totally
320.
dominant. When they were playing next to each other, it was, like, unbelievably tough.
Him and who?
Him and Hutch, when they were playing next to each other.
Oh, I believe it.
And our run defense is going to be number one in the league. This is my
prediction
right now. Number one. DJ Reader is looking great right now. Healthiest he's ever been, probably in the last several years anyway. And you know, we'll get a lean back later in the season. Oh, my God. It's going to be good. Very good.
Yeah. We got dogs. We got a lot of dogs.
At the very least, we're going to stop the run. There maybe is some question about the pass rush, at least. But
is there?
Sure.
Where?
I mean, not from a Hutch standpoint, just from the
You don't think Davenport's got the smoke?
I wouldn't call our interior D line outside of a healthy Aleem McNeil elite pass rushers.
I mean, yeah, I think Tyleek
Davenport is.
But I was saying interior.
Yeah, but you can also, you're going to get Pascal back. Pascal can rush inside. Like, Hutch can rush inside. Pat O'Connor can rush inside. I mean, we got guys.
High level yet.
Tyleek Williams has the upside to be a really good pass rusher. We'll see what that turns into. But
right, there's a question about it though. It's not like a sure thing. It's like a hot pass rush.
It's not a sure thing, but I think they really addressed the pass rush this year. The healthy Davenport and a healthy Hutch, yeah, it's going to be quite improved. And like Talik, you said, I think he's going to show a lot up the middle too, putting pressure.
Because he didn't get unlocked in college. He was used to like eat space. Right. We're going to use him as a weapon too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be impressive. Yeah. I think this defense, I mean, if we're just looking at from health right now, we can stay reasonably healthy this season. This is going to be one of the top defenses in the league, I believe, right now. Our linebackers, we got Barnes back healthy, which is huge.
Another pass rush option.
Yeah.
Campbell's turning into all pro. I mean, these guys are, we got studs out there, man.
Anzalone in a contract here.
Yeah. A little disharmony there for a moment, but
a little money, though.
I think he's not happy about the situation in that terms, but I don't think it's going to affect his field in any kind of play in any kind of negative way. And I just think
he's got to get the new contract. He's still got to show for free agency.
Right.
I think him and Campbell could be like the premier linebacker duo this year. I think Campbell's going to make a big jump, and those two together will be just.
Well, I think that's the Lions' dilemma with Anzalone, though, because they got a lot of big contracts coming up. That the guys they want to sign, and Anzalone's 31. You want to keep the guy, but again,
when Brad says you're getting long in the tooth, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. And I would love to keep him on the team, but man.
But like the thing there though too is who's his replacement? Like we haven't done any groundwork there really yet to replace a guy like him. I mean Rodrigo, I guess, but whenever he comes back, and then
I'll be back.
Barnes is different. They're not interchangeable exactly. So
Pulaski?
I mean, maybe. Hey, he made a nice, really nice run stuff in the preseason game where he flew up and stuck it in the backfield. From linebacker too. He wasn't just playing edge. So he's one I'm really curious about this offseason. Because I think his upside is just so huge. If he can carve out a spot in this roster and get more reps under his belt, I think he could be a good player. But
I mean, they've been using him more at the mic lately in this
perfect
season by all accounts.
He's making the roster.
Oh, he's definitely making the roster.
No doubt about that.
Him and Cunningham.
Was good in the preseason game too.
Yeah.
That was a guy I liked coming out of the draft years ago.
Remember that. So yeah.
It's fun to see him.
Big rangy linebacker.
It is good. Yeah.
I love our linebacker core. It's a really fun one, especially when Rodrigo returns.
That'll be like November. 6 to 8 games in or something.
Yeah, something like midseason, right?
Probably like November-ish.
Jack Campbell is just like the bar right now. I think like he's the guy.
You guys, just as far as the whole defense, you're talking about the pass rush from the middle, but I think we're gonna still have pass rush because we're gonna have both ends. I'm counting on Davenport being healthy this year.
Me too.
I love the optimism.
Me too.
Both ends, and we do have some guys that can put up pressure in the middle, but they'll be freed up a little bit because the defensive ends are going to be upgraded, this year.
Right. Barnes is a key pass rusher.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Barnes too. We had to do a lot of creative blitzing last year, so a lot of these guys are familiar with these concepts, and so I'm sure they'll still even work some of that in, even if they don't blitz as much as they did last year.
That was a tidbit I picked up, Bob. Shep has been really doing some creative blitzing and stuff in practice and really.
Yeah, that was one of my notes. I had the note here from the practices today. So, you're on the same page that we picked that up, bro.
Nice.
So, I think the pass rush is yet to be determined, how good or bad. It could end up being really good.
I'm optimistic. I mean, I think personally,
when you got enough just big, badass, athletic bodies to throw at the problem, I think you're going to be okay. Like, especially with Hutch being back in, like Hutch is just gonna keep everything elevated. Everything I feel like we feel like about our pass rush is like stained on us from once Hutch went down. like when he's in there, that pass rush is gonna be fearsome no matter what. But we got so many big, strong, fast dudes. Pascal is kind of an afterthought right now because he's banged up, but when he gets back, he can be an interior pass rush type. Another good edge depth. Like we got big bad dudes. And yeah. when you get like, I think of the 49ers of the last like 10 years, like they always just have, and like you could, when you're like fourth guy up is like 6'5", runs like a 4.8 or something. It's like you're just going to give teams problems.
And Lions players, even the guys down the roster, they're all relentless. These guys are all,
yes,
like, they only get a certain type of player on the team. They're all that way. You
know,
like,
I know.
Do you guys think that undrafted rookie is going to make the team? Campbell?
Yeah, what's his name again? He's showing out, though.
He's like 6'5", 280. Linebacker? Big. No, D lineman. 6'5", 280.
Who, Nate Litt or Isaac Ukwu?
No, neither.
Neither one.
Neither of those guys. What?
No.
He's undrafted rookie this year out of like
Keith Cooper?
Keith Cooper.
D tackle.
Yeah,
well, he's a D lineman. I mean, he's, you know, a guy with that kind of build might be able to flex out to the edge and stuff too. Like, but like, he's huge, 6'5", 280, like long, athletic D lineman is making some waves. It's going to be really interesting to see who sticks around, especially with injuries. Because, like, how does Aleem count against the 53 man at the beginning of the year?
No.
Like,
not while he's on the pop.
So then some of these guys are going to be placeholders and so like that.
Chris Smith
that
probably alone, has it over Keith Cooper just because he's a little more versatile on the D line.
Chris Smith is versatile and he's reliable.
He's a little more experienced.
Yeah. Right. He's a Notre Dame.
I mean, the hope is that you keep Cooper on the practice squad.
But you also have Pat O'Connor. Who's your interior stays at this point? Like, you got Reader,
William Lopez, O'Connor, and Chris Smith.
O'Connor and Chris Smith. What about, like, Mekhi Wingo? Is he going to be accounting against the roster?
Well, that's the thing. They don't know if he'll be ready by beginning of the season or if he'll have to miss 6 games. So,
and if he does, he doesn't count against the roster in that time?
It's same thing if you're on the pup list, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, then come back. But then you still got Broderick Martin if they want to try to keep him around. Like, it's going to be really interesting. Yeah,
I don't think Broderick Martin makes the roster.
I don't either. I think they may keep him on the practice squad to keep developing him, but...
If he keeps showing what he's showing, the thing is, like, sometimes you take a bet on upside. Like, if Chris Smith is, like, an old reliable, you're just kind of, like, comfortable with him, but he's, like, your fourth or fifth tackle or whatever, fifth or sixth, but you got this dude with the upside that's finally coming along that you've invested 3 years into. I don't know, man. Especially as long as he keeps flashing. I'm not saying, like, he's got this, but like, if he keeps playing like he did in this last game and becomes a force, because he reminded me of like a Haynesworth or something, the way he crashed through that line with, I mean, it's just because of the size. It's not like, and when you're just bullying over O linemen, like
Haynesworth, are you kidding me?
Yeah, those
Martin,
you're using that to
Haynesworth.
I'm saying, like, it's a visual thing, like, because he's so big, like, he's so freaking huge. He's 6'5" and 340. Like, not many dudes are built like that. So it just like stands out on film when a guy like that is crashing through the line and just bullying O linemen. And the thing is, like, those metrics that are like the reason they drafted him for, because when you get guys who are 6'5", 340 and can move, you get guys who can take over games like Sean Rogers. Cause like, not everyone can just do that. Like, when you don't have that size.
Just for a second here. Just wait. There was a Haynesworth and Sean Rogers and
all
these all pros.
It makes sense if you're comparing those two, but you're comparing them to
Roger Martin's literally going to throw offensive linemen through the air like this.
He's just like the roster.
I don't think he's going to make the roster.
I'm talking about a body type. That a lot gives you access to abilities that other people just don't have. When you're 6'5", 340 and can move like those dudes, that's part of what made them so special, was they were just so big. And when he's on that physical level, I'm not saying he's any inch the player they are yet, but like,
I know a guy like that worked at the T-Mobile store over there on 103rd Street.
Albert Ainsworth, 6'6", 350, by the way. So 30 pounds on Broderick Martin.
30?
Yes.
Roderick's not 3'4", but he's only an inch taller. I mean, the point is, he's a massive human being who can move well and was dominating the game, and it had a visual aesthetic of like one of those guys. I'm not saying he's on their level. Whatever. Give it up.
No, you get very attached to some of these draft picks sometimes.
I'm not attached to anything. I'm just calling it like I see it, and you guys are making goofy observations of your own.
Goofy observations. You're the one comparing him to Albert Haynesworth.
We're grounded in reality.
Okay, are they not in the same size class? What's your point?
They both play football.
He hasn't played in NFL. He was like a scratch all last year. Healthy scratch.
Okay. It's like you're arguing against a different person.
You're strictly speaking size.
Thank you, Z. That's all I'm saying, and you guys are taking this to mean something else.
You're just talking about the size comparison.
Yeah, looks like you can't look like that unless you're that size. He looked like a monster coming through the line. That reminded me of how those guys
look. John Rodgers, 6'4", 350, so 30 pounds less than both Haynesworth.
Whatever, he's lighter, but he's tall as those guys. Like, he's a big boy that you can't teach that, and that's worth something.
Like a young Al Roker, kind of a big dude.
I'm done with you guys. Done.
You ever see Huel on Breaking Bad? He's like him.
Yeah. Except for he can't breathe when moving.
I think he's like 6'3", 350.
There you go.
I think he's like 400 pounds. That dude was round as he was tall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When I was watching Breaking Bad, I was thinking about Albert Haynesworth when I'd see his scenes, too.
I thought about Sean Rogers, personally, but... What I was thinking about.
In case you're curious, the first coach to be fired this year in the NFL, Brian Daboll is first, and then Mike McDaniel is second.
Oh,
I was totally thinking that
McDaniel probably will get fired.
I think so.
It's too bad because I love that guy. He's so funny. Like his funny. Open mic stuff is just hilarious.
His shtick kind of wears thin, though. I feel like he seemed all quirky, but then he seemed like you watch him. His whole like he's just like weird. He's just like sometimes he just looks sloppy and he's just out there all half shaven and like he looks like he just partied last night.
I kind of
acting like
I like that he's a coach in the league. I wouldn't want him on my team.
I know.
I'm not out there.
I agree with you.
Entertaining.
So, who does the best between AG and Ben Johnson?
I think AG. I've said on the record before. Plenty of time.
I kind of agree with you.
I think so. I do think Ben Johnson will be a decent coach, but I think it's going to take a few years.
Do you think Caleb Williams will help make him that, or do you think he'll have to roll past Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams,
having trouble keeping up right now.
Ben Johnson's career is directly linked to Caleb Williams right now. Whatever, as he goes, so will Ben Johnson.
I don't know about that because he inherited him.
I don't agree with that.
Totally.
He inherited him. I think he might get it.
They want him to make Caleb Williams.
That's the plan, but I don't think it's tied together.
I think they would hang on Caleb. If Caleb's struggling,
underestimate the Chicago fans and the pressure.
Caleb Williams fails, Ben Johnson is gone.
But he didn't draft him. I don't think he's going to be hung. I don't think they're tied together that way.
They invested so much money into Ben Johnson. He's safe.
I think they've advertised him as the great genius they've hired to like fix everything. And if Caleb Williams isn't hacking it, they'll find a way to blame him first before they blame Ben, unless everything else is failing.
But if he gets the team playing better, and they have to move on for a quarterback, people want to play with Ben Johnson.
Right. So, that's a little different.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's all tied together.
Yeah, I don't think it's tied. And he didn't draft him. Like he inherited him. I don't think they're that tightly linked.
Oh, it is the Bears, though. So
yeah, I know.
Like the Bears, it looks like are going to be moving into the western suburbs of Chicago. Their stadium, almost like
ooh.
It's everything but official at this point.
That's awful.
And whenever they have time to release that stadium, if the Bears are not even like showing promise,
it's a no brainer to move out there.
He'll be fired.
Why is it a no brainer?
Are you kidding?
It's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad that they're in.
It's
not in
iconic
downtown,
where it's at now.
For the team, it's a no-brainer. That place is a huge piece of land.
Right. Outdoor stadium going by the way of a dome.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, they should tear down Soldier Field, take away its landmark status, and then make it.
They already took away its landmark status a few years after they built that stadium. You realize that?
Should have done it ahead of time.
Yeah, I think it's gone now.
It's been gone for a long time.
They should just put a state-of-the-art stadium there.
I agree. I think it's too cool of a spot. It's too iconic.
It's all money.
Well,
the Bears are
asking for $2 billion from the Chicago and the state. And
They've got immense
pushback. So that is why
that's not going to happen.
Maybe if Pritzker gives his own money or something.
Now Pritzker's like, no way, we're not paying that. So I don't think it's. We need a richer. I mean, we don't. We don't need him. I'm not a Bears fan, but they need an owner with more money, which they won't have.
Yeah,
Caskies will be there forever.
I think forever, Ford should make that dome openable, though. You know, they should make that thing like a flip top.
Let it snow into the dome.
Yeah, and have grass in there again.
I mean, you don't have to let snow in, but I agree. I think
just
the hybrid
fake snow and release it from the top.
Hybrid stadium's the way to go because I
like
I think
that
outdoor
idea.
Football's
like at ski slopes, you know, like they put snow down, like we'll have snow machines up in the ceiling. Yeah. That would be cool, man.
Make indoor snow.
Pick awesome.
In direction, have like a
apparently this new Bills stadium that's opening up next year. It's outdoors, but apparently they designed it in a way that like the wind is kind of like blocked a little bit for, like on the field. So design like where the wind is kind of like is like less of a factor, I guess. But I
Are they going to cover up the seats better so that doesn't they don't have to shovel them out every time?
No, no. You'd think they'd have some sort of like some sort of tarp they could pull down in between.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, Kid
I do
Jay,
like that they keep that one outdoors though. It's
at least I have a question. Question for Kid Jay, since we're bopping around league right now.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know, he's obviously drinking the blue Kool-Aid here, but he's also starting his own. Drinking the Rams Milk podcast, or well, he's a Rams fan, basically.
Rams
he's
milk
on his head.
Get milk out of a ram.
We were wrestling one time, and I just knocked his head.
You were wrestling in the womb, and
ever since
I was just
then,
curious, curious what you
he
thought of the chatter.
So at least,
yes, he can. I was curious what you thought of the chatter of Micah Parsons going to the Rams and Aaron Donald coming out of retirement to play with him because he was so excited about the prospect. What? You must have seen that, Kid Jay.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, that's just like that's really
crazy.
Donald's like, if he came to the Rams, I would unretire. We'd be unstoppable.
Wow,
that would be incredible. I don't think there's like
no way Aaron Donald's
a chance that's gonna happen.
Year.
But
no,
maybe that would. I think they're just goofing. But
that would be like a really good enticement for the Rams to throw resources at him.
Stafford hasn't even practiced yet.
Yes, really? Man. Wow.
He threw 60.
He's been working out on his own somewhere.
He threw 60 passes in a workout before their preseason game on Saturday, and then he was supposed to practice Monday. Then he was like too sore or something. So that's got to be good, right?
Mm-hmm. How long has he had a week back?
About a week back.
No.
Love any Stooges reference,
but
that was a good one.
But hopefully he's healthy. They say he's healthy for week one. I don't know. I guess I'll believe it when he's out there. But I have no.
He'll be there. He's a baller, man.
Yeah.
Who's your receivers this year? You guys got rid of Cup, right?
Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittingham, and then they had Terrace Ferguson from Oregon. They drafted with their first pick in the second round, and then Tyler Higbee's back. Kyron Williams back at running back. Just got signed.
I do like the Rams D line.
Yeah. It sounds like you're firmly behind the Lions in the talent department.
Seems Devontae Adams though the luster is losing his star because he just bounces around looking for
how
that
old
right
is
thing.
He now?
Like, he just keeps bouncing.
Sean McVay's good at using those kind of guys.
Yeah, he's good.
I suppose
he's a good luster.
I mean, Stafford like, will probably do okay.
I don't know. He's like
well, Puka Nacua is the star there, so they don't even need him to be the. The superstar.
True.
He's doing like LeBron James chasing the ring, you know, looking for the ring.
Is that what he's doing?
One more quick roster battle I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I know. Bringing it back. But quarterbacks.
Thank you.
And there's our Rams segment.
our final cornerback spot. Nick Whiteside. What we think about him making a roster? We like
I don't have much of an opinion at this point.
Yeah, I think he's on the borderline there.
Does he beat Khalil Dorsey in this
Maybe
scenario?
He's like one of those guys that like he makes the roster, but then they find someone else they like, and he's immediately cut.
Well, Z, what's your scenario? Who's the...
Even if you make the 53-man roster, you're not safe.
But what
these guys?
I know.
Z, who's your top cornerbacks making the roster ahead of
Terron Arnold probably and DJ Reed?
That's for sure.
I think they just scratched
Robertson
the roster.
I think Arnold's back in practice, by the way. I believe.
Yes, he just returned today. So.
Okay, so Arnold, Robertson, Reed, Rockyson. Do you think Khalil Dorsey makes the team?
I do.
Dorsey will
make. So that's five. And then what? Whitehead, this Whiteside after that?
Yes, we missed definitely anybody? Not Boodle. Please, God, no.
God, yeah, all no, I see is him getting beat and everything.
Like, everywhere.
He keeps getting his chances, though.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders how good Tesla is, because he's the guy he was smoking in practice. It's like, maybe it wasn't that big a deal. He's not looked good.
No. No, he did not. Especially in the Hall of Fame game, he looked absolutely impossible.
He's gone.
He's just hard to read.
Safety, Brian Branch, game. Kirby Joseph, Monte Maddox, Lauren Strickland. I think that's
did Morris Norris miss scores. The team now?
What's that?
Did Morris Norris miss the team now?
Well, probably. Or some they can sort never of injury reserve.
Dan Campbell could never play him again. He'd be too scared.
Nah, I think he'd be
I'm
fine.
Just kidding, but like he was hurt so bad they stopped a football game. Like, I don't know, I'd be a little wary about like but I don't know. I felt like he had a better chance at before that injury.
Or well, there appears Lord to be no Strickland long snapper battle this year. Hogan Haddon still's got it locked down.
He's the man.
Jack Fox,
heading down the batches, as they say.
They had Jake Bates at like 71 or like 67 or something for kick power in Madden. I was like, how do they come up with these numbers?
Like, I don't know.
Because he was hitting like 60 yarders in like that whatever league we pulled him from. Like,
I think the other injury that we didn't absurd. Know was Tristan Colton. Cologne looks like he'll be out a while with an elbow injury, so that helps Kingsley at Guacoon.
He was going to be our backup center, though.
Locked into the roster. And he might have been made it anyways over him, but I think this ensures that now for sure.
Is he any relation to the ex-Detroit Lion, Harry Cullen? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
You remember him?
I do. I remember Harry Cullen.
I definitely don't.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate name.
Yeah, it is. But he was a good player.
Harry Cullen, but he was pretty
he actually
good
had a very he was good. Ironically, he actually had a very bald Cullen.
Oh, God.
Roll the night, boys.
On that note.
On that sad note.
Fun little Jake Bates note. The kicker on the Jaguars hit the 7-yard field goal in the preseason game.
Yes.
He, him and Jake Bates are on the same roster at Arkansas, and he blocked Jake Bates from the starting job until he left.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
70-yarder, you made it relatively easily, I would say. Like, it didn't just hit the crossbar and go over. It went over by a couple of yards. Probably been good from 72 yards, 73.
From the Jags?
Yeah.
It's
only a matter of time.
Doesn't count because it's a preseason game, like record wise. But
that's crazy, though.
It's only a matter of time. I mean,
these kickers are ridiculous now.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you try 60-yarder against us? I was like mind blown that one.
Who, the Cowboys did?
No, and the Ravens did it to us.
It was the Ravens. That's right.
But
former Lions punter Ryan Donahue, I saw him line up for a 70-yarder in high school. He missed it by a mile, but it was cool to see someone trying it.
He would bang him.
Now it's more realistic.
He would bang him in warm-ups, though.
Yeah, he had a boot.
Well,
too
fortunately,
bad his Lions career was cut short.
Yeah, it is.
But he missed his PAT when we beat him my senior.
Fortunately, we still have a Rita guy on the team right now with Pat O'Connor, so.
Yeah, we're good. The streak continues.
Well, yeah, he's got a fight to stick around. I think I like his chances, though.
I think we have a scout that lives at Rita Games, watches the guys.
All right. So, I think we're going to wrap it up here. We'll be back to talk about the Lions preseason game against the Dolphins next week as we get closer and closer and closer.
Finn Soup is on the menu.
And a half weeks away from the start of the NFL season.
3.5 weeks.
Baby.
It's hard to believe. But it seems so far.
I know.
Is this our last preseason game?
What's our last one? Well, we have four.
Hall of Fame's an add-on. Here. Okay, yeah.
The last one's on the 23rd, so in 10 days against the Texans. The Lions play on the 16th, in 3 days from this recording. That's at noon against the Dolphins.
Maybe this is Hooker's luck that we get the extra preseason game so he gets a longer chance to turn this thing around.
Jordan Love looks like he'll be out of practice until
week one. Here we might be facing
broke his thumb or
a non-throwing hand.
Malik Willis might
Packers
be our
are probably
opening.
Better off anyway without him.
That's he a debate. Sucks. For another day.
Are you scared of Malik Willis, UJ?
No.
Well, the Lions' history of mobile quarterbacks and defending them, it might be a worse matchup for us. But we can get there.
Yeah, I think that's a thing in the past. I think we've learned that trick now on this defense.
Except against Jaden Daniels. Didn't go.
Hey, after this year.
We're down to like our 18th stringers that we recruited off the street that day. I'm not going to count it.
After this year, the rest of the league, it's a copycat league. They're going to go after immobile quarterbacks that sit in the pocket and just throw darts. Because they're going to go for the Jared Goff clones.
Model.
And the running quarterbacks are going to be out of the league.
Out of the league.
That's my prediction.
It's a bold prediction, UJ.
Yeah.
That is.
That's it.
Considering how people just tend to rank them higher because they can run nowadays, I don't know about that one, but I like it.
I don't think it's going to come true, but it's a bold prediction nonetheless, UJ.
That's what I'm all about.
Predictions.
Bold.
All right, so let's wrap up the podcast here. Do I need to bring up my book from? I know it wasn't the last podcast.
The book.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
So it'll be inserted in ads in the podcast. But anyways, we want to thank, of course, our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
We're crushing every single week on the podcast.
In the biz.
He's the best.
Instagram, Ed Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter /X, Ed Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the roster battles going on. Who's going to make it? Who's going to get cut? Or just your thoughts on the Lions in general going into the season. A little bit closer to the season, we'll have, of course, our ever-famous predictions where we predict what we think the season's going to go. If you heard past podcasts, you probably could have some sort of idea what our predictions will be, especially Red Dogs.
Yeah, baby.
YouTube
in store this
DTBK
season.
_ Lions, or just type in Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, subscribe to our channel on there. You can see our beautiful, handsome, lovely faces on there as we talk about this Lions.
And we were voted the best looking podcasters in all of the NFL.
We did. We won that regional award.
Yeah, we won. Yeah. We won that award. We're the winners.
Yeah. Best Lions
model campaigns
paid looking
best.
Folks.
Best
in
looking
Chicagoland.
We may,
in the
Chicagoland
tri-state area.
We may have a calendar coming out. Just stay tuned.
Okay.
Get on our Patreon for that.
Fans only.
Waiting for with a bated breath on that one, I'm sure.
Oh, Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid only fans.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh. Okay,
you get on it, UJ. You get on it.
We promise we won't run it with bots.
All right. So I think that's gonna wrap it up. We want to thank everybody. Of course, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in each and every week. And we really, really thank you if you stay all the way to the end of these episodes.
We love you guys.
You're a real blue a Kool-Aid drinker if you stay all the way to the end of this. I don't know what we call our followers. But
you're the real fans. The real fans.
Message us on Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid if you have.
Honestly, if you're still listening, followers. You probably drank a little too much blue Kool-Aid, so just take it easy.
Can you drink too much blue Kool-Aid?
No.
Oh, wait.
Exactly.
No.
Yes.
Drink more!
Just don't drive sometimes.
In the Make America Healthy Again campaign, Mr. Kennedy has said that we should all drink more blue Kool-Aid. In fact, there's limitless amounts of blue Kool-Aid is good for your health.
Did he say
the more you drink, the more healthier you will be?
I missed that announcement.
Yeah, no, it's
thank you for spreading the word.
They're bringing back the Presidential Fitness Test, too, and I heard the blue Kool-Aid mile is being considered.
Yeah, blue Kool-Aid mile.
Yep. Blue Kool-Aid mile.
Yeah, you know those like pacer tests where you run back and forth down the gym? They're going to have little Kool-Aid shots at each end to incentivize you.
Like the rabbit. Yeah, they're going to like, the guy in the
Thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next week talking about the third preseason game against the Dolphins. But we appreciate listening. Thank you everybody. And wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, leave a review, Spotify, Apple, wherever. But last but not least, as always,
Go.
Team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.